Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, verse 27. We'll look at this verse this morning. And it's a verse that most of us know. We have heard it all our life, even when it wasn't being used in the context of Scripture. We've talked about man being made in the image of God. I would say that this is probably one of the verses, one of the passages that many people who are not even in church know what this verse says. We talk about in our society, in America in particular, I think we put a lot of emphasis on this issue that that man it was created in the image of God. And we use that verse, and ordinarily I will be honest, as I thought about this verse and I thought about how I have used it over the years, typically when I'm quoting or using this particular thought of man being made in the image of God, it is dealing with the evolution and the creation debate. I'm trying to, one of the verses it would use to respond to someone that believed in the theory of evolution, that no, man is made in the image of God. And so typically, that is the way that I think the majority of the time, probably that we use this verse, this thought, is in that general idea of defending creation and talking about man's place, that he wasn't evolved, that man didn't evolve from a puddle of ooze, or a tadpole or whatever, but we use this verse to defend our belief, one of the verses we would use to defend our belief in the creation of man by a willful act of God. And so that is typically the way that we would use this verse. But as I studied this verse and I was reading a devotion the other day that kind of pointed me in a different thought process in dealing with this verse and how much more meaning it has, how much more use that it has than just dealing with the idea of creation or evolution. I think as we look at this verse, we begin to understand that this one verse, as short as it is, really reveals to us how special man is to God, how much what our place is in God's kingdom. And so this morning I want to take a few moments and just this one short verse that man, God said, let us create man in our image. Let's create man in our image. And that one statement is one that as I thought about and began to allow that thought to permeate my thinking, began into my thought about the verse began to change. And I want to share that with you this morning. And as we look at this verse, I have to delve a little bit and go a little bit into theology to begin with. We have to dig into a little bit of understanding of the verse. And so the first thing we need to really look at this verse is to talk about and to look at an explanation. When we see this verse, and it says that God created man in His own image, in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. When we look at that verse and we think about that verse, I think one of the first questions that comes to our mind is exactly what does that mean? Exactly what is that saying when it says that we are created in His image? Certainly, as I think about that verse, and I look at you, I certainly hope that that God's better looking than most of you. What exactly does that mean when you say God is created that we are created in the very image of God? Does that mean that God is, is He blind, brunette? Is He tall, short, fat, thin? Is He, has He got a beard? I think probably all of us kind of have a visual picture of what we think God looks like. But well, what exactly does this idea of being created in His image mean? And as we think about that, begin to understand that, and let's understand, I guess, what it's not and what it is. Certainly, there's nothing anywhere that gives us any indication that it's talking about physical characteristics whatsoever, because the Bible is very clear that God isn't physical, that God is spirit. And so certainly, it's not talking about physical characteristics. It's not saying that God has 10 fingers, 10 toes, and a receding hairline. That's not at all what it's talking about. It's talking about the spirit and the spiritual idea, so that we as humans can have a very special relationship with God. That He gave us personality. That He gave us minds to think with, emotions. That He set us apart. It's certainly to me an amazing thought when I see that and see the fault that goes in to the creation of man. If you think back to the creation story, the Bible says that God said, "Let there be light." There was light. He said, "Let's divide the water from the earth," and it just spoke. But when it came to the creation of man, there was a consultation. There was a thought process. He says that He discussed it. He said, "Let us create man in our image." And so He gives us thoughts and a will to make decisions, right or wrong. And but most of all, He gives us this inner spiritual nature that allows us, enables us to be able to communicate with God. I think back to this opening chapter of Genesis, and the Bible talks about how that when man was created, how God would come to the garden every evening in the cool of the evening and walk with man. Doesn't say that He walked with the zebras or the giraffes or the rhinos or the cows or the horses, but man was a very special part of creation, and He came daily to walk and to commune with man. And so when God says in His Word that He created us in His image, He gave us that ability and enabled us to be able to worship Him and have relationship with Him, and that we have understanding. There is not another creature that has the understanding that man has. Certainly we have animals with intellect. They have emotions. They have those things. They don't have the understanding that man has to understand and to relate and to understand cause and effect. That if I do this, then this happens, and this good or bad, and be able to weigh those through. We have will, the ability to make a decision, to accept or to reject temptation. We have passion, the ability to love and to love God and to be loved. We have the ability to reason. Certainly, you can take an animal and you can train an animal of right and wrong. You can train an animal to stay off the couch. You can train an animal to go and to get into the crate. You can housebreak an animal, but they just it's a routine for them. They don't understand the correlation between right and wrong. They don't understand the correlation between good and bad. They may understand that you're yelling at them or whatever, but they don't make that correlation. That's why they'll go back the next day and do the very same thing. And so God gave us that ability. God, when He says He created us in His image, we are spiritual. We are the only creation that has a spirit, the ability to commune with God. You've never seen your dog in the evening before it laid down to go to sleep, put his little paws up under his chin and say his prayers. They have no communion with God. You've never seen a horse standing out in the pasture admiring the beautiful sunset. There's a difference when He says that we are created. Perhaps the most important thing is to understand when He says we are created in the very image of God. That very simply means one of the things that means. It also means that we are immortal. We are immortal. Now, listen to me, Jimmy. You got to preach a funeral this evening. We're not immortal. The body may be mortal, but you will live forever somewhere. You will reside forever with God or separated from God. Your spirit is immortal. You will go on throughout eternity. You will accept God and you will reject God. And so when He says He is creating us in His image, we are immortal. He says we have authority. We have dominion. That's what He said in the original plan, was that man was to have dominion over over the earth, over the animals. And so when He says that He has created us in His image, what that really boils down to bring it down to one simple point, is God looked at all of creation. He looked at everything that He had created. And he looked at man and he said, he's different. He's special. I love the fact that it doesn't say, regardless of what evolutionists may preach or teach, doesn't say that he created man in the image of beast. Doesn't say that he created man in the image of some animal. He says that we are created in the very image of God. As he looked at creation, and he looked at all his handiwork, I want to remind you that every day when God was done with creation, what did he say? When he got done every day, he looked and said that everything he had done was good. He looked at all of it. He looked at everything he had created that said was good. And he looked at man and said, but he's the best. But he's special. He's going to have a spirit. We're going to create him in our very image. He's going to be like me. I want to be able to communicate with man. I want to have a relationship with man. I want to know man, and I want man to know me. I want to have a very special relationship with man. Now certainly God knows all of creation. He says in his word, he says he sees the stars when they fall out of the sky. He knows every one of his creatures. But he says of man, he's special. I'll create him in my image. That's the explanation of image. But what then does that mean? Does that mean we can just say, well, that means we didn't evolve? Well, what do we do with that thought? As we stop and think, what can I do with that, Jimmy? What difference does that make? Okay, we're created in the image of God. We have a spirit. We're different. Yeah, but to be quite honest with you, I knew that before you started. Yeah, I already knew that. You know, I already knew all about that. I knew I was just a little bit. My dog didn't believe it, but I knew I was smarter than my dog. So somebody said, the difference in a dog and a cat is you own the dog and the cat thinks it owns you. I already knew I was smarter than my dog. I already knew there was something a little bit different about me. Well, we did too. We knew there was something a little different. So what exactly does that mean? Get an explanation of what it means to be in the image of God. Here's what I really want to really take this morning, and I want you to take away from this, is then the exhortation. What does that mean? If I am created in the image of God, if I am created in the very image of God, shouldn't my feet hit the floor every morning with a different perspective? Well, one devotion I was reading about this passage said this ought to be one of the verses that we read every day. That we quote every day. Every morning when we wake up, to get up and look around us and say, the couple of verses that come to my mind that probably ought to be part of our daily routine is, this is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then from there, to look at the world, to look at my day and say, God created me in His image. God created me in His image because I am special to Him. I am special to Him. I can go about life. You may not like me. The neighbors may not like me. The people up the street may not like me. I may have everybody in town mad at me, but I am created in the very image of God. I am created in the very image of God. I don't know about you, but as I thought about that thought, and I thought about how much more this verse means than just telling me that I didn't evolve from a tadpole, that this verse says, God looked through all of history and He looked at mankind. He looked at me and He said, I will create him in the image of myself. I don't know about you, but I think about what that means. And to be perfectly honest with you, I'm not much of an artist to begin with. Matter of fact, I sent somebody a birthday card this week, and this morning they told me, said, I want to thank you for my birthday card. After I finally figured out who it was from. So I couldn't figure out who Joe was. If y'all get a birthday card and you don't know who it's from, just say the preacher sent me a birthday card. That's all I know to tell you. At least I'll take credit for it. How's that? I don't have much of an artistic flair about me. I will tell you that the older I get, the worse my handwriting gets, and you don't want to give me crayons or a paintbrush. It'll go downhill. But I do believe I could probably be one of these modern artists. I was in an office building a while back, and on the wall, there was a canvas. Now that I think about it, I said this morning at the other, it was probably it was close to the size of that window. And it was painted solid red. And that was art. But what got me was not the great big red thing on the wall. And I don't remember exactly the title, but it was something to this effect. The Lady in Red. Now, y'all know me, art's not my gift. Sarcasm's more my gift. And I got to be honest with you, I stood and looked at that and said, man, she must have been a biggin. Yeah. Because they couldn't even get her all on the canvas. And you ought to back up a little bit. You know, at least got her arms or something. All they got was just big blob of red. Yeah. But what then? And then the other thing that really struck me about it was the clown that painted it signed that thing. You know, signed it. I'd be honest with you, you ought to be a little more careful what you put your name on. You know, don't just sign everything. I told them this morning, they were talking about the birthday card that looked like it was from Joe. I said, I signed my name that way on purpose. I can always deny it. You know, you don't know what that thing says. You know, I have no idea. You know, listen, I don't just put your name on anything, do you? Yeah, I every now and then something will come up and somebody will want me to sign something. I say, well, hand it here. And I'll start reading it. And they take that, for some reason people take for granted when they hand you a paper and say, sign it, you're just going to sign it. I don't just sign it. You know, I read it, especially depending on who handed it to me. You know, I'm not just putting my name on anything. But think about what this verse says about you, about me. It says that God looked at you and said, you know what? I'll sign that. I'll put my name on that creation. I'll claim it because I created it in my image. You know, one of the things that just makes Caleb, just throw us, Caleb. You see old Caleb puff up. You see Caleb get all swole up because about everywhere he goes, somebody tell him, you look like your daddy. Oh, man, that makes him proud. You know, oh, he just swells up. I kind of do like this. I say, who's his daddy? You know, Caleb just puffs all up. You know, when somebody tells him that. So I want to make Caleb's day telling him he looks like he's daddy. You know, oh, that just thrills him. Think about that. You know, now, let's be honest. Doesn't that, as parents, just kind of make you feel good? When somebody says, hey, he looks like you. When they tell you round two and round three, he look like you. Doesn't that make you feel good around? Yeah, listen, think about that. That's what I call them, round two and round three. They don't have names in my world, but round two and round three. Yeah, because that's who they look like. They look like their daddy. We're praying they don't act like him, but they look like him. Yeah, but listen, think about that. I can only think of one word when I think of the fact that the Bible tells me that God looked at us, looked at man, looked at you and I, and said, you know what? I'm going to create him in my image and effect, putting his signature on his artwork. All I can think of to say is, wow. Because I got to be honest with you, there are a lot of beautiful things in creation. A lot of beautiful things. It's been many years ago, I remember riding out in the country outside of Salisbury, and I was going down a long, straight stretch of road, and I could see pack of deer, herd of deer, bunch of deer, you know, however they traveled, there's a bunch of them. And it was a long, open road, and I could see them from over here in the distance. I don't think you call what they do running. That's too beautiful to be running. I don't know what it is. You know, but here they come. And I'm just thinking, I hope Tim Reinhart's not out there. You know, but here they come. Over a fence, over a ditch. They hit the road like one time, and I just saw them run off out into the woods on this side. And I'm thinking, wow, that's just, you know. You ever seen a majestic horse galloping? You look around and God has some marvelous creatures. Got to be honest with you, many of them are a lot prettier than you and I, or at least most of us. But God looked at you and said, I'm going to create you in my image. Wow. Isn't that an awesome thought? That God thought that much of you. That He thought that much of you to say, I'm going to create him. I'm going to create her in my image. The exhortation that comes from that thought. But then as I thought about that, and I'll be honest with you, when I originally began studying this passage, that was the sermon. That was it. You know, we're going to sing Just As I Am and go home. That was it. The exhortation, the thrill of knowing that I am created in the very image of God. But then as I thought about that, God kind of like, hey, you, that's not the end of the story. Because I created you in my image, that shouldn't be just an exhortation, but I want you to know it comes with an expectation. So I have to remind Caleb every now and then, you know, you're going to look like me, you're going to carry my name, you better act like you got some sense. That's just part of the requirement. And think about that. If the Bible tells us and says to us that you are created in the image of God, you know what that says? That says He expects more out of you than He does out of a dog. Says He expects more out of you than He does out of a pack of wild animals. You know, you look around, and you go to a circus, or you see them on TV, these folks, handling these wild animals, messing with lions and tigers. You know what lions and tigers do? They bite their heads off of people dumb enough to hit them with a whip. That's what they do. Yeah. Listen, be honest. When you go to the circus, when you see the animal tamers, you're not so surprised that the animals sit there as you are surprised that about the second time, with that whip, the one of them is enough of that. And take his head off. You see a wild animal, you watch the Wild Kingdom of Mutual Omaha if you're old enough. Yeah, and you turn that on, and you see a lion out in the wilderness, out in the field, ducking down behind a tree, waiting on an antelope to come by, and the lion jumps out and pounces on the antelope and devours him. You don't go, wow, I didn't see that coming. You knew that was going to happen, didn't you? Yeah, the antelope wasn't too smart, but you knew it was coming. Yeah, you walk through the woods and a snake bite. You know that's what snakes do. That's what lions do. That's what tigers do. But the expectation of a creature created in the image of God is just a little bit higher. Think about for a moment. What would change if we took seriously the statement that I am created in the very image of God? It would solve a lot of self-esteem issues, wouldn't it? What would happen if we took seriously the fact that our spouse, our children, our co-workers are creatures that were created in the very image of God? Instead of they're just my husband or just my wife, all of a sudden my husband, my wife is a husband, a wife, a man, a woman that God Himself created in His image. Shouldn't that change the way we treat our spouse? Shouldn't that change the way we treat our employees? Shouldn't that change the way we treat our customers, our children? When we look around and say, that man, that woman, they are special because they were created in the very image of God. There's an expectation of man to treat, to act like a creation of God. Think what he says. He says he's created in the image of God. A lot of the modern translations do this. They say create a man in the image of God, in the likeness of God. What does that say? So that we're going to be like God. If we're created in the image of God, doesn't that mean we're expected to act like God? You know what it means? That we should reveal His compassion, that we should reveal His love, that we should reveal His charity, that we should reveal His mercy. You know, we've said all our life, you've heard people say over and over, that you're the only God that some people will ever see. You are His likeness. I remember years ago, I believe Caleb was in the second grade. And I was out visiting one night, and I knocked on the door, and the couple I was going to see, their daughter was there. Just so happened their daughter, kind of found out, was a school teacher. And the daughter came into the room when I was sitting there, and she'd never seen me before in her life. She says, you got a son that goes to Weddington Hills? Why? You know, explain yourself a little better. I don't know if I'm claiming that yet or not, because at the time I had two, and I didn't know what either one of them had been up to. I better figure out what's going on. And she says, well, there's a little boy over there named Caleb looks just like you. And I said, really? And I still played dumb for a minute. Really? Is he a good kid? You know. Is he a good? See, I told you he was like me. Is he a good kid? Yeah, he's a good kid. Is he act right? Yeah. He's mine. Yeah, I'll claim him. Yeah. Listen, we're supposed to be acting and carrying ourselves in a way that, you know, there are a lot of people who don't believe they're created in the image of God. Shouldn't we? Doesn't this passage say to us that God has the expectation that we carry His image, His likeness into a lost and dying world? Doesn't this passage say that it should encourage us? Certainly, it should lift us up. It should excite us to know that we are created in the image of God. But when we understand that, all of a sudden you say, you know what? That's some real serious responsibility to that. Nobody is shocked when a dog bites another dog or a dog bites a person. That's what dogs do. But we should be surprised when God's people don't act like God. I didn't get a single amen. We should be surprised when God's people don't act like God. I was wondering about you. Because we're created in His image. In His likeness. And while it's a great exhortation to face every day knowing I'm created in His image, the Bible says whom much is given, much will be required. There's a huge responsibility placed on every one of us. When we walk out the doors of our home, to go to our workplace, to go into our community, to go into our neighborhood and know that I am, as the Bible calls it in the New Testament, an ambassador. I am an ambassador for Christ. That I should be showing the image of Christ. Huge responsibility. This isn't just a verse about debunking evolution. This is a verse about our responsibility and our reward as being created in the very image of God. I want to ask you to bow your heads for one moment. And I hope, I pray this morning, my goal, my vision, my ambition for this message this morning is that it will be a word of encouragement. Because I know life is hard. There are a lot of things that come into our life, into our work, into our home that frustrate us and discourage us. There are a lot of times we doubt ourselves. We have people who have been told since they were small children that they were no good and they weren't loved. My prayer this morning is that as believers, we would understand and begin to realize and accept and live as if we were created in the very image of God, that He loves you that much. And perhaps you need to come this morning and you need to kneel at this altar and say, oh Lord, I just want to thank You, God, just for the encouragement, for reminding me that I am Yours, that I am special in Your eyes, that You created me with a purpose for a purpose in Your image. And I want to thank You. But I also pray that you'll take seriously the responsibility that comes with that gift. That I am a creation of God, created in His image. If I am His likeness, if I am His image, here's the question I want you to wrestle with. What do people see? What do people know about God based on the image they see in me? Maybe you need to come this morning and kneel at this altar and say, dear Lord, help me to be a better example. Help me to be a better likeness of You in how I deal with my spouse, my children, my co-workers. Help me to be more like You. Help me to be more in Your image. You're here today and you don't know Christ. He created you for a special purpose. To have a relationship with Him. You don't know Him as your personal Savior. You need to come this morning and ask Him into your heart. Church doors open. You've been saved. God's led you here. You want to be a part of this church family. Whatever God's leading you to do, today is the day.